Hey, Anthony Fury here for another edition of the Roundtable with Paul Micucci. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Anthony. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. Looking forward to seeing some good videos today.
Yeah, well, one is a video and the other is an interesting social media post. So good, good fodder for a Roundtable discussion today to get your thoughts on and for us to chat a bit back and forth on here. One is an ad actually put out by a government, by a provincial government, and the other is a post, a social media post put out by the federal government. Both have people talking for different reasons, but I think they kind of work together. So I wanted to break these down with you.
Yeah, kick them off. Let's take a look.
Yeah, so the first, this is an advertisement by the Ontario government that we're not going to see on our airwaves. They have actually spent $75 million for an ad that's going to be played on the American airwaves. Take a look at this.
When someone says, let's impose tariffs on foreign imports, it looks like they're doing the patriotic thing by protecting American products and jobs. And sometimes for a short while it works, but only for a short time. But over the long run, such trade barriers hurt every American worker and consumer. High tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse, businesses and industries shut down, and millions of people lose their jobs. Throughout the world, there's a growing realization that the way to prosperity for all nations is rejecting protectionist legislation and promoting fair and free competition. America's jobs and growth are at stake.
Wow. So that is actually going to play on US TV. So the 75 million, part of it's for development of that commercial. Part of that is just to buy ads to actually tell Americans. So we're telling, as Canadians, we're telling Americans that tariffs are bad.
Yeah. This is the Ford government, the Ontario government, doing this campaign all on American airwaves, just launching now. So I know we did some of this back during the election around that time when tariffs were first being proposed. This is a whole new campaign just launching. What do you think of it?
Well, it's not what I think about it. I wonder what Americans are going to think about it. So if I'm sitting in my, you know, in New York State and all of a sudden this comes across my TV, I'm going to wonder why Canada is telling me about tariffs, because they probably aren't as focused on tariffs. I'm sure I talked to Don, who works with us, and I said to him, you know, and he has family down in North Dakota. And I said, what are they saying about tariffs? And he says, they're not saying anything. They don't even care. Other than, you know, China, Russia, you know, the Ukraine, you know, Israel, that's what they're focused on, but they're really not talking at all. So I guess when we send them the message about tariffs, they're going to wonder why we're telling them about tariffs.
And yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you scroll through our news sites, it's tariff, tariff, tariff. And then you scroll through, you know, New York Times, Fox News, CNN,
nothing,
like maybe a little bit at the bottom here and there, but it's, and to your point about China and how it relates to the American consumer, this is just not really on the map for them. So, you know, how is it going to be received? They may go like, what's this all about?
Yeah. And why are we using Ronald Reagan? I don't know what, you know, Reaganomics and the whole thing, but Ronald Reagan was a beloved president, right? You know, actor, you know, and politician, a difficult time in the economy. I guess maybe that's why they're using it. I'm not sure how that's going to go over, us using it and putting his speech up and trying to tell people that it was bad. Now, you know, my question would be, and, you know, I'm not sure the advertisement hits home, but, and marketing is always hard, so I understand that. But my question would be a little bit to the person who's putting that up. If I'm an American and I'm sitting at home and watching that, and I just went through 4 years where, you know, I basically saw under Biden, President Biden, I saw the economy shrink, GDP shrink, unemployment, loss of jobs, and manufacturing leaving the U.S., a huge debt burden. I might ask the question, well, what else do you want us to do? I think that's the question we're all asking now at this point in time. Like, I understand President Ronald Reagan's speech. I just kind of now think in my head, well, okay, again, you know, we're looking at it from the Canadian point of view, but I think when you advertise to someone, you got to put yourself in the shoes of the person you're advertising. So they're going to say, well, No, like when I wasn't doing that great, right? Like I wasn't, you know, I'm living in Cleveland. I don't know if anyone's been to Cleveland lately, but yeah, I'm living in Cleveland, and Cleveland's like a slum. We went there, my family and I, about 4 months ago. We stopped for gas. It's pretty scary. I don't know if anyone's been to downtown Cleveland lately, but, you know, and all the abandoned warehouses, manufacturing, people out of work, homeless people on the street, in the core of the city, it's pretty rough. So they're all sitting there saying, well, my city, you know, fell apart. And it happened, you know, when we lost manufacturing and industry. So, you know, he's trying to bring it back. I get it. Do I like it? No, from a Canadian perspective. But, right. You know, I guess I'm not sure advertising to them in their living rooms telling them tariffs are bad. And my question, if I'm sitting in that living room, would be, what else do you want us to do? You know, like...
Yeah, what's the takeaway? And two interesting things that you said that I want to pick up on. One was... us invoking Ronald Reagan. Like I get the point to say, oh, you guys, you say you have a Republican government, you say you're a conservative country, but yeah. Here's what, you know, the godfather of the conservative movement or one of your great sort of heroes that you worship said. Okay, fine, but it might rub them the wrong way. Like if you get a call from someone in Europe or Asia or whatnot, guess, is this Paul? Yeah, okay. Paul, I want you to, Jean Chrétien would actually do this in this situation. I want you to act like Jean Chrétien. You're like, what are you doing calling me from the other side of the world, invoking Chrétien, or you know, whoever, Chrétien, yeah. Brian Mulroney, whoever you want to bring up. Yeah. Like it may actually rub some people the wrong way because you have Reagan and then you have the Ontario and Canadian government logos. And they're like, what, you guys think you own Reagan more than we do now? So that may be a little difficult for them. But I think more to your point, like what's their level of engagement with this issue? Like if you have to rank, you know, issues from 1 to 20 in a daily American's life and tariffs with Canada is on there. Like for us, I know we're talking about it all the time, but 1 to 20, what they're going to put it as, I don't know, 18 or something. And then maybe this ad campaign will move it from 18 to 17. Like, you know, will it move the football even 1 yard? And then what do you even do about it? Like, well, it's not, I don't think it's going to change policy. Maybe it's just for domestic consumption for us. Maybe it's just so Canadians get told your government is spending $75 million for an ad in the US. And you know, it's going to be, I mean, we're talking about it, we're playing it, you know, it's going to be aired on the nightly newscast. It's on, yes. You know, social media, yes. And everywhere.
$75 million is a lot, right? That's a big buy, right? That's a huge buy. That means you're buying huge amount of air weight, depending on the length you're running it for. Yeah, of course. But you know, so I guess, is that the right approach? And is there better ways to communicate your message? You know, again, I know we're trying to get along and try to work out a, you know, Kuzma deal. We're going into 2026, which is key. Is this the best message to again send on the heels of going in for that negotiation? Or do we really want to buck where he's going? Because, you know, President Trump is touting it as his success. You know, I've made trillions. You know, this is, you know, we made $1 trillion last year. I made $17 trillion in investment. You know, he's already saying that he's trying to say, whether it is or not, it's a huge success and it's working.
Well, and there's something else you're saying, that his salesmanship will be far superior to the salesmanship of this ad.
Well, sure. He's you know, he's got half the country, you know, who voted for him, that's supporting him, people that believe in him, that are thinking his agenda is moving. So, yeah, I you know, better ways to do it. $75 million, I guess, you know, they'd say it's a drop in the bucket for what they usually spend, but I probably think there's better ways of spending that money.
Yeah, I think the ad is ultimately an odd look. And speaking of odd looks, here's the other ad that I wanted to bring to your attention, get your thoughts on. Take a look at this social media post that was put up by Immigration and Citizenship Canada, so our federal immigration body, dealing with policies here domestically, but also how we communicate them abroad, how we engage with prospective immigrants, refugee claimants. This social media post, which has gone viral, says, thinking about moving to Canada? Did you know Canada has public health care? Learn how it works, who can get it, and what services are covered. Click here. And this is out to the world, Paul. This is out to all, you know, all 7, 8, 9 billion people.
So we just did a show, you know, a healthcare show. And really what we were proving on the healthcare show is that government plans to reduce their expenses when it comes to promoting asylum seekers to Canada. So the budget is going down moving forward into 2026. And on that show, you know, I mentioned to you earlier, you know, we had Nir Rosenberg, and it was a great show, and we're going through it. And I think it was last Wednesday or the Wednesday before, the government now took Bill C-2 and split it, and now has Bill C-12, which really contemplates a number of issues. But the big thing coming out of that for asylum seekers is those people who were students, came to Canada on student visas. They've studied, it expired. They weren't able and didn't know what to do at that point, claimed asylum. Well, they're actually going to be, if C-12 passes, sent a letter to leave the country. And that was kind of a shock on that show. So here we have, you know, and I talked about it quite a bit, but, you know, it really infuriates me. Here we have people that came to the country. We sold them a bill of goods to come study in Canada. A lot of courses and a lot of colleges and education institutions that probably didn't have the greatest programming. So we said, come spend $40,000 a year as a foreign student, enroll, do a 2-year, a 3-year course, you know, so they're into it for about $80,000 to $120,000, depending 2 or 3 years. Their families back home. And, you know, I think, you know, I explained it on the show, but for those of you, and I always tell people this story, I learned years ago that a lot of these people come here when they come from these countries, the different countries, whether it be India, China, Nepal, wherever they come from, they basically mortgage their lands that their family have had for decades.
Wow.
So what they do is they, there's not a lot of ways in some of those countries, in most of those countries, to work and get ahead. So, you know, you exist.
Like no savings.
Yeah, you exist, but you know, your father takes the family residence and passes it to the older son. You know, the daughters get married to the sons who have then, you know, been bequested or given homes and assets, right? So a lot of it is asset transfer. In a lot of these countries, it's asset transfer. So what we did is we said, okay, you guys now, you know, come to Canada. It's a safe haven. You're going to get a PR. And then when you get your PR, you can work really hard and you can grow your family.
Right.
So that was a dream that they all saw. And we sold that. Like, that's like healthcare. You know, the same thing. We sold that to them. We said, you know, if you come to Canada, that'll happen. So what they did is they went to the bank. They went to their existing banks. Now, a lot of these countries have banks, but they're not like our banks. So, you know, our banks are pseudo-government.
Right.
You know, we give 5 people or 5 groups licenses to run banks. You know, over there, their banks are like just investment funds. They're a little different the way they're set up. So more like American banking,
right,
where, you know, there's some regulation, but it's a looser regulatory structure. They get a license to actually run a financial institution. They set it up as, you know, Ali's, you know, bank, right? So that Ali's bank gets, you know, $10 million into it, and they start giving loans, and it sort of grows as an institution and, you know, moves forward. So they go there to his bank and they say to him, can we get a mortgage? And he says, sure, you can get a mortgage, but I want all your land. You know, your security is all your land now. So you can, I'll give you that loan for $120,000 for your little girl to go to Canada to, you know, get it.
So they've literally bet the farm on these people.
They bet the farm, the whole farm. So when it's done, so this is where I think people are kind of missing the boat on it. When it's done, and when these people are, you know, if in C-12 passes and we send the letter and they go home, they're going home like there's no land anymore. Ali's bank has taken the land. You know, there's very little ability for them to make a living, jobs, and to actually pay rent. So they're going to have to go to a very rough, you know, they'll move outside the city to a small shelter. They'll crop the land. They'll try to exceed. Someone in the family will go and live in the main city.
And if it's like a
and
culture,
try to keep a job living with 10 people.
Some people will have brought shame on the family, depending on the cultural values and so forth. I imagine like someone could be severely punished for.
Well, a lot of them don't even go back. They commit suicide. Oh. They actually run off. They don't because of the shame of it all, you know, because they took that leap and it missed. So, you know, we're saying, you know, come do that. And it's terrible. You know, right now we're in a terrible state in the immigration. And I can't emphasize it enough how badly we've done at this, right? We keep changing the regulations every so many months. We keep moving it around. It's just awful what we're doing. And so, and it has all these human consequences that go back. And now, right? And now sort of this pops up,
yeah,
you know, on the heels of, you know, come to Canada for free healthcare, right? So now, you know, it's interesting how this works. So we on the international scene from an education perspective are not seen as a great place to go anymore. So I want to make sure everyone knows that. Like no one in any of these countries saying, wow, you know, you should go to Canada. They're saying, man, do you hear about the, you know, his cousin? His cousin really got screwed over in Canada. He went there. He did a 2-year course on business administration, went to get a job, and he couldn't get a job in a restaurant in Canada.
Right.
So he spent $100,000 to get a business administration degree from Bubba College, and he can't get a job there, but he can get it. He might be washing dishes. And you know what? He claimed asylum, and now it looks like he's coming back home.
It's really incredible, Paul, like the way you line it up like that. And we have this post here that I guess, I don't know what they think they're doing, being compassionate or like they're crossing the streams because the policies are tightening up. There's so much public frustration with both the immigration system right now and then with the healthcare system, because millions of Canadians don't have a family doctor. So what are they even talking about here? They're like, and they're showing they're also showing an older gentleman there. And we know there's concerns like we want to bring young people to work and be productive, even though to your point, that's falling apart. But is this an older gentleman just coming to Canada, instantly going into the healthcare system? Like, bizarro. But good luck to him, because maybe he can't even get that healthcare support. Like, it's like you're pointing out, it's not just unfair to people who are already in Canada to have this happen. It's unfair to lie to people about what things are really like here and then have them be the victim of a bunch of scams and then have, like you said, in the worst case scenario, commit suicide because they've destroyed everything in their family equity.
Well, here's the interesting or crazy thing about this. So we're decreasing the amount of money we budgeted. So if that stays, we're coming up to the November 4th deadline where we're going to see the budget going forward. So in 2024, for what we spent, you know, and with our plan at that point, we said that the amount we spent on asylum seekers would go down. So it, roughly, you know, we got up to $6.2 billion. We were saying it was going to ratchet back to close to $5 billion over the next few years, right? So it's going to start to go down. So it's still a big industry. So just, I want to kind of put that in context for you. So we're not talking millions, we're talking billions, right? So the challenge right now is a little bit, it's kind of an odd conundrum. So now you have all these, you know, converted study visas to asylum. They're kind of in this weird zone where they could be getting a letter any day. You have natural asylum seekers with a high amount of unemployment. Right. So they're kind of just sitting there getting a monthly stipend from the government. They walked across. They came to Quebec, walked across, yelled asylum. They're sitting in a hotel or sitting somewhere now waiting for, well, I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting for something. Right. And we also have this lump of money set aside, you know, of say $3.5 billion to spend on asylum seekers going forward. So, you know, it's kind of like one of those industries that become, you know, an industry that makes an industry within an industry. So you have to worry sometimes when you build a business that you internalize your business so much that everyone in your business thinks the business inside the business is itself. You're not dealing with the public. So if you're B2C or B2B, you sometimes in a business to customer relationship, if you don't do it really well, your team can create their own B2B. So they're just doing business inside their business, right? Yeah. So you have to be a little worried. And this kind of happens with governments where all of a sudden, you know, I'm here and I start to create this mechanism where I have to do this stuff. Because if I don't do this stuff, I don't have a role. You know, I need asylum seekers because I need to keep that $3.5 billion moving. So I have to do it. So then I look at it and I say to myself, well, I don't think colleges are going to do it anymore, because right now in Canada, across around the world, colleges got a bad rap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, what's the other thing people need other than education? Healthcare, right?
So loop that into it to sort of keep it all, keep it going again.
Yeah. So now I start putting ads around the world. Hey, you know, come for free health. Well, holy cow.
Yeah.
Like, wake up now. You, like you just said, Anthony, you know, other shows we've done, the healthcare, our healthcare situation, you know, is a mess, right? It is a mess. Like we understand it's a mess. Right now, you know, we talked about it on a number of shows. Per capita, we're about number six in the world in total spend. We have a huge amount of wait time lineups. You know, we have fewer doctors than comparative countries with similar spends. So if you take Australia, Denmark, Norway, when you look at the number of doctors they have, we have almost half the number of doctors they have, and they almost spend the same per capita as us.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, we're not knocking it out on the healthcare front at all. We get it. So the numbers aren't proving out very well on the healthcare. So now you tell people to come and get free healthcare on top of that. So a system that's struggling already, we now say, let's come forward and let's, you know, add on more people. It's crazy. But if you think about it, so this interesting thing, we've just seen a bunch of things develop in the last few days on the job front.
But to your point, sorry, it's crazy if it's not a Ponzi scheme. If it is a Ponzi scheme, then that's how it works. It makes sense to, like you said, take it to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. You just, all you're doing, you don't care why they're coming. You just want to keep them coming. So your reason isn't to ask the question, am I doing the right thing? Is my mission aligned with my vision? Does it add up for the direction of the country? You're not asking any of those things, right? You're just told you got to get so many people here because we have this much money to spend. So then you're doing it. So probably the person behind that is just doing that, right? They're going out, they're hiring a marketing. The marketing people are sitting in a think tank. They're sitting around a table and saying, okay, we can't promote education. What do we do next? Okay. Yeah. Food security, healthcare, like they're just throwing stuff up. So, you know, that's what it becomes. And next thing you know, here we have an ad going around the world for this.
What a saga. Two wild ads out there, getting a lot of responses from people. Let us know what you think about it in the comments. Paul, always good to discuss these matters with you.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, don't forget to subscribe and like. Have a great day.